How many's excited about camp? Hey, yeah, this is like the third year I'm going. And last year my son was baptized there. We did several baptisms last year. We had a great time. I like the ice cream competition. That's pretty awesome. Man, you guys ought to come down. You know, I don't want to be there by myself. I'm going to take my camper down, so if you don't come, it don't matter because I'll be there. I'll have my own room. But we just got back from Colorado. If you can survive that, you can survive anybody. You know, four people or three people and a dog and a little camper back in the mountains without internet for 2 days or phone. You know, I mean, come on, no Facebook? Gosh, you start getting the shakes. It's the altitude, I thought, but it was the internet I didn't have. And I, you know, you're like way back, and the mosquitoes are after you, and it's cold. We had to turn the heater on during the daytime at 50. Sunday it was 50 some degrees. You know, it was like that night it was 30 something. I thought it sleeted and snowed a couple of times, and it's like, man, yeah. And so we was up north, and then we moved down to like Colorado Springs, and it's like 9,500 degrees, and you know, it's like the burn up. No, you can't have a fire, you can't have nothing. So one side of the state was wet, and the other side was burning up. So man, it was hot. So anyway, I figured if I can survive that, it, you know, prison is a piece of cake. you know, for you that don't know me, I'm Frank Jennings. I'm out a lot. I do prison next Sunday. I'll be at Boonville doing a service, and then I do chaplain work on Fridays once, twice a month. This month I got two chaplain days and two Sundays, so I'm going to be busy. So you know, I need prayer, a lot of prayer. I hear a lot of stuff, and it, you know, it really works on you to deal with a lot of the people that's incarcerated. But it's a joy to be able to go in and be able to do that and be able to sit down and talk with the guys and to do service with them. But anyway, I'm glad to see everybody here today. And I just hope to see most all of you at camp. That's going to be a good time. Anything else? Just trying to cut through some of the stuff here before I get started. Anyway, Lord, we just thank you this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your blessings, and we thank you for your outpouring upon us. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives and the healing and the transformation that you're doing in each one of us. That we're looking forward to the future and not look back to the past, but we just move forward to what you have for us. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you. Here, some time ago, around Mother's Day, I was at Boonville doing a message, and the next week was Pentecost. And I do a lot of prison activities and stuff that I can go in and luncheons and things that I can just go in and just sit back. I don't try to go all the time just to minister. I like to go in and hear the feedback. And the thing we had is we got a New Beginnings class that's in the middle of the month in the afternoon, once a month. And it's just a two-hour class. That's it for new Christians. And the groups that have people come to the Lord, try to get them to sign up for this class. And I went to one of the classes and different things, and I listened to the men as they talk. I just sat back, try not to get involved in it, because they taught their own. The offenders were teaching their own class to new saved offenders. And so it was offenders ministering to offenders. And so I sat back and just kind of watched what was going on. And different things through the year and listening to different ones talk, I've noticed a lot of times we seem to kind of not talk about the Holy Spirit so much. We talk about the Father, and we talk about the Son. We talk about salvation, and in prison, it's about salvation so much. And some of the guys in the office, the offenders, I asked them, I said, do you go to so-and-so's meeting? You know, I know some people who come in, and they said, no, it's kind of the same thing every time. It's just salvation. We want something more. We've been here serving time for a few years, and they're getting ready to get out. It's a 6-year camp, so they come down from the big house, or if they haven't got big fines, you know, big crimes, they start off there and they leave, you know, 2 to 6 year. And so I don't know, you know, I meet guys that's been in there 20, 30 years, and they're coming down to go out and to go back to society. And so that particular Sunday, Mother's Day, I felt like the Lord was speaking to me about Pentecost. And so I started studying about Pentecost a little bit and reading about that. And it made my eyes open up a little bit to the fact that the church wasn't even birthed until the day of Pentecost. The church wasn't even formed. They sat around in a group, undecisive, not knowing what to do, until the day of Pentecost. And so the Lord has kind of inspired me to teach a lot on Pentecost when I go into the prison, because this is something that I don't hear nothing about really. You know, it's kind of like Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and that's all you get about Pentecost. But we forget that is what empowers the body. That's what empowers the church. This is what Jesus had left for the church, is Pentecost, the Holy Spirit. That day that the Holy Ghost come down and it become part of the church and you form the church into a body of believers. But I want to start off with something pretty simple today. And I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. And I'm going to go to the book of John, the 4th chapter. The book of John, 4th chapter. And I'm going to just start there, kind of. Jesus was leaving Jerusalem or Judea, and he's going back to Galilee or back to his home. And it says in the 4th verse, it says, now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, he sat down by the well, and it was about the 6th hour. And when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? Now it says his disciples had gone into town and went to McDonald's, got a Big Mac. Oh, well, that's my AD. Now I've learned I've got ADHD. I used to just have ADD. I didn't know there was an HD. So now I've got ADHD. So I start reading things in here, because if I'm going to town to get food, it's probably a Big Mac, no, or Taco Bell, you know. So, you know, who says there wasn't a man named Mac that didn't have a meat market, you know. So, you know, so they got to get food somewhere. I mean, they're just out of towners, and you know, it's kind of hard to haul everything on your back or your bag or whatever they carried. So they go off and wander into town, and Jesus sits down at the well, and this woman comes out to draw water. And he says, the Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have gave you living water. there is so much involved in these few little verses. Number one, Jesus being a Jew talking to a Samaritan dog. That sounds harsh, but that's what they were referred to as the dogs, the outcasts, the inbreds or whatever. They was a group of people that the Jews would not associate because they didn't want to defile themselves. They wouldn't even go under their roofs if they wasn't a Jew. Any race, it didn't matter. But the Samaritans were worse than all of them. And so when they would go to Galilee, because Samaritan kind of separated the country there, they would go down and probably cross the Jordan down by Jericho. They would travel down that way and go out around and go around so they didn't have to go to Samaria. But here's Jesus said he needs to go through Samaria. Now, I don't know of any other reason, it doesn't talk about that I know of, that Jesus had any other appointment in Samaria but with this woman. This one woman. This is something the church really needs to get a hold of, because if we're going to be Christ-like, we're going to have to go out to the dogs, to the outcast. I seen a shirt, something on Facebook or somewhere the other day, and it talked about love thy neighbor. You probably all seen it by now. I mean, I'm kind of slow on that. But it's like, love thy drunk neighbor. Love thy homosexual neighbor. Love thy Muslim neighbor. Love thy, you know. And so Jesus speaks to us about love thy neighbor or our brother. He ain't talking just about one another, but it's about everybody. The Bible goes on and talks about how, I don't care how elite you think you are and how good you heal people or how good you prophesy over people or how good you preach to people, but if it isn't love, everything else will fail. Because love is what binds us together. This is what Christ did. This is what God, I look at God as being the whole brain of the situation of heaven. He's the one who looks down, and he's the one, and whenever the world was formed, he spoke the word. And I look at Jesus Christ for it says in John, what, that the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The word was with God, and he become flesh. And I look at God, and I see Jesus speaking the word, and the Holy Spirit, the invisible, mainly the invisible one, as I see the Holy Spirit going forth in activation and doing the power. When Jesus was baptized, it says that the Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove and lighted upon Jesus. And there was a voice out of heaven, this is my beloved Son. And we see that the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove. And somewhere during that time, Jesus transferred into a healing Messiah, a miracle working, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so we find Jesus at this well with this Samaritan woman, and he's giving her this living water. This living water. He's pouring out this living water upon an outcast, upon a person that nobody cared about, nobody wanted to have nothing to do with. A woman who's been married 5 times and living with a man. We would call her a tramp. The Bible doesn't say her situation. It doesn't say what she'd been through. It doesn't say, but we see a woman that was changed. We see a person change because of what Christ did that day for one little woman. What one little woman? That one little woman, you know what she did? She went to town and she preached the gospel to everybody, and they come out and they was changed forever. That town was changed forever because of that woman being touched. I wonder sometimes of who we touch in our lives. How many people we may touch and encounter in our lives every day. I have the privilege of reaching some of the most forgotten people, unwanted people. And I think when I go into their prayer meetings on a Thursday, the hour of prayer from 2 to 3. And listen to these offenders that I don't know what their crimes are. I could look it up, but I don't really want to know. You know, I find out some things I really don't want to know, because here I'm talking to them, you know, and you get in office and you start, you know, it's hard not to goof off with the employees, or you know, want a high five, or you know, you're there all day with these guys, and to you they're just, you know, to me they're just like other church people, you know, but I go into their prayer meetings and I listen to their prayers and how they thank God for the situation, and that they're there in prison, that God has saved them and they're not dead like their friends are, and how they're praying for their other friends outside the walls that they would get caught or something, that God would get a hold of their lives before they die of what they was doing. And I think about the people that we come in contact. You may not go into a prison, but you on the work front, on the job, throughout your day, Walmart, wherever you may be, who you may contact with. Because one person that we can minister to may change the whole town. I seen something somebody posted that there's been 980 salvations at Fort Wood since March the 1st. There's a new chaplain down there and he's tearing it up. Yeah. 880 salvation at Fort Leonard Wood. I mean, that's just wow. You know, I thought we have quite a few at prison, because we, you know, I go and we baptize 27 people every couple of months. And so I'm like, wow, they had a baptism of 20. I think it said he was talking about one of his services up there at Fort Wood, and said we was baptizing 20 people and 100 and some people got saved in the baptismal service. We had at prison, we had two. The last baptism I was at, they went ahead and gave an altar call the first time they did an altar call during the baptism, and we had a couple guys that was just there to see what was going on. They got saved. And you never seen such an excited bunch of men high-fiving and the rowdiest place in the world at a baptism. I'm telling you, why, you thought you was at the hockey game or something. They was smacking and playing and high-fiving and running and jumping. And the water was splashing and we had a tank and it was just going everywhere. It was a mess. It was great. I learned not to stand over by the door where they run through, because they're soaked. But it's something that a person ought to see. But I think about these people that each one of us come in contact. See my Super Dad cup? I got that for Father's Day. It's really nice. It keeps ice like all day long. It's great. It's like a thermos. Or it keeps coffee hot. Oh. You got to remember ADD, especially when you're ministering to a bunch of ADD people. Not here, no. not in this place. It's just out. It's in prison. You know, come on, man. It's nice to goof off sometimes because we're family, you know, and I. I go into a very serious place, and it's hard to high five and it's hard to goof off with these guys, and because you're really not supposed to touch anybody, and you avoid contact. And matter of fact, even if they're out of prison, I'm not even supposed to see them for a couple of years till they go off papers. So if you're an offender, please don't tell me about it, because I could get in trouble. I can say hi to you, but I can't go to McDonald's, okay? You know, I just can't. You know, it's just one of them things, because I'm a volunteer at a prison, so I just can't do that. So Jesus rescues a woman. I want to go over here to anybody understand what I'm saying today? Anybody getting anything at all? I'm going to go to Acts chapter 2. And it says there in chapter 2, verse 1. It says, when the day of Pentecost come, there were all together in one place, suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw that what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and come and rest on each of them, and all of them were filled. I'm going to back up. I skipped this. It says, Jesus was talking to them earlier. It says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift. This is chapter 1 in verse, in here in verse 4. But wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Jesus had been with them for 40 some days, and he was walking with them and talking with them and prepping this. This is after he had resurrected from the grave. This is after he had went to the cross. This is 40 some days after the Passover, and Jesus is walking with them and talking with them and telling them that you wait here in Jerusalem for a promise, for a gift. I find that it's very necessary for the church, or at least for myself, to find a place to tarry and to wait. You know, it's like I said, we was in Colorado without internet for 2 days. That gave me a lot of time. And my son, you know, he's playing solitaire, or he wants to play Uno or Goldfish or something. And you know, okay, I ain't got no phone. I ain't got nothing to do but sit around or drive somewhere or whatever. I used to fish a lot, and I haven't been fishing for a while. And so we're just sitting around the camper, you know, and campfire. But Jesus said, tarry. Tarry in this place. Stay here. Because you find after Jesus had been resurrected, after he had died, that some of them said, well, I'm going fishing. I'm going back to where I was. I'm going to go do what I was doing. And so Jesus went and kind of gathered them all back up like a hen. And he brought them to Jerusalem for the Pentecostal feast day. And he's got them there in Jerusalem instead of down at Judea. For some reason, he wanted them there at Jerusalem. And so he brings them into Jerusalem there. And he's out at the Garden of Mount of Olives. And he's talking to them about this. Tarry, tarry till the day. Tarry, tarry. And so they are waiting there with what? They have got no inspiration. Jesus went out and gathered us all up after he died. And he said to tarry and pray. Wait around. What's going to happen? What's so significant about this, you know? We know he died. We know all the acts he did. But that day that the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the 120 that was sitting there praying, all of a sudden something changed. Something changed in each one's heart. I encourage you to find a spot somewhere to tarry before the Lord. To don't wait for a tragedy in your life. Don't wait for something bad to happen before you go and oh God. Because the problem is you're so ate up with the tragedy and you're so ate up with all this, you can't really feel the blessing of what God has for you. But we need to gather ourselves up. And Jesus, if it was good enough for them to tarry, it's good enough for us to tarry. If nothing else, find somebody that is spiritual and have them to pray with you and lay hands on you. I know our pastors. I know their heart. I know what they want to do. They want to change lives. They want to take people that are hurt and bound and depressed and change their lives. That is the mission of the ministry. That is our mission. That is our call. For us not to remain like we are, but to tarry in the presence of God until we start hearing a voice, until we start feeling something rise up in our spirit, like he told the woman at the well. I would give you living water. I would give you living water. And this is what he was prophesying to the church that day, that I will give you living water. If you will come to me, I will give you living water. Not just the old water that's in that cup there, but I will give you living water. I will give you something that will empower you, and I can go and sit on the right hand of God, and the Holy Spirit will come and direct. He will guide. He will comfort. He will teach. And he will bring you together in unity, that the purpose of God will be fulfilled upon the earth. Because the purpose of God is to save those that are lost and bring them out of destruction and out of their past. This is the most preached thing that I preach in prison, is you got to forget about your past and realize how much God loves you. How much God loves you. God loves you so much that he was able to alter the universe and send a son to die for us. And he didn't leave us just, he gave us something to sustain us and to carry on and to keep going. And it's called the Holy Spirit that is poured out upon us, that we need to receive into our lives. Right. The power of God, the power, the infilling of God into our spirit, that we can continue. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Chapter 2 and 14. It says that, let me back, yeah, chapter 14. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph possession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere his fragrance, and of the knowledge of him among those who are being saved and those that are perishing. God wants to lead us triumphantly through this world, through the lost, through the saved. But we are God's aroma. We are God's aroma. He said, we are God's aroma. I've smelled some people that need to take a bath, but I'm telling you what, we are God's aroma. Amen. We are God's aroma. How do we become that aroma in God? allowing God to fill us, learning our place in God. You know, I think this is where we need to transform our lives, is to learn how much God loves us, what He did for us, and that serving God is not a drudgery, but a joy. We can look at it like, what all I had to give up. Or we can look at it of what all I can gain. Are you know, the guys at prison are glad to give up some of that stuff because they realized that they was going to die young. And I know I've had a lot of friends of mine that's dead today because of a lot of stuff. But we learn that what we have a future and quit looking at the past that Satan keeps bringing up. Satan wants to just keep bringing that past up. And, you know, it's like me trying to come up and preach. Satan always says, well, you're not worthy. You're not worthy to preach. You're not worthy to do what you do. And then my wife has to straighten me out. You know? But I find this in everybody's life. They get an insight to do something, a call upon their life to minister or to help somebody. And the first thing the devil tells them, you're not worthy to help somebody. They're going to either laugh at you, they will mock you, they will hate you. You know what? The hardest thing I do is to ask if I can pray for an unbeliever. That's the hardest thing to do, is to face an unbeliever. And being a Friday chaplain, I get to sign release forms. They come into the chapel, they check the clerk. The clerk says they don't owe the chapel any books. They don't owe them stuff. And they make their rounds through different departments of the prison. And so they come over to the chapel office, and when I'm there on duty, they come in, and I always say, yeah, bring him in here. You know, the clerk will bring me the papers, the release papers, the sign. And I say, well, I come in here to talk to them. I don't care about them papers. Bring him in here. And so they come in, and a lot of them's like sitting there in a chair like, I'm in a chapel office, you know. This is like the devil's crying out or something, you know. And some of them's like, man, you know, don't get near me, you know, don't touch me. But I have a lot of guys that I sit down and I make room for each one of them if I possibly can. And it makes a long morning, or really a short morning, because I'm so busy with about five different guys or something. And I talk to each one of them. Where are you from? Where are you going? What are you going to do when you get home? Are you coming back? Am I ever going to see you again? I hope not. And so I sat and talked with these guys, and last of all, I signed their paper, and we usually stand up, and I go to shake their hand, and I ask them if I can pray a blessing over their life. And very seldom am I ever refused. And even some of the offenders that work in my office see what's going on, and they're like, I can't believe he was able to do that to that guy. I can't believe he'd let you pray for him. And all my offenders that's in my office are either Catholic or Christian. They're part of the church program there. So they're all active. And so they know the guys on the campus. And, you know, I mean, even though there's 1,600 guys, a little city there, but they know the guys. And they're like, man, that guy was, you know, you wouldn't believe. And I think through the power of the Holy Spirit, I was able to deposit something into that man's life. If we believe that we are anointed of God, then we have the power. If we've tarried in the presence of God, if the Holy Spirit has been poured out upon us, then we possess in this earthen vessel something that can touch, whether it's a word or a prayer or what. But if I stop along the highway and I see somebody wanting money and I go up and pray for him, I believe that something's going to generate, some kind of power is going to be transformed and something's going to happen to that person. Right. Something's going to happen. Or I might as well just give it up and come to church and sit and do nothing. But I got to see, I tarried long enough that I got a revelation that God is willing to use each one of us who are willing to get up and do something. God will not leave us to sit by the wayside. God went to that woman who was married 5 times and now she was living with her 6th man. And he made a minister. She became a legend. I just read about her. 2,000 years later, I just read about this woman who Jesus deposited some living water because he spoke to her as a human person that had love and compassion. All you got to do is to reach out with some love and compassion and not judge what they look like or how they've... I get the strangest looking people you ever seen. And this is something that I've had to learn to live with. That not everybody's going to look like me. Praise God. But that diversity to learn to love the other groups that come in and try to, you know, this is where you learn to love the Baptist. Even some of the Catholics and some of the different ones, because they come with a mission into that prison to do one thing, and that's to change people's lives and get them saved. And I've got Mennonite friends. I've got all kinds of friends that come in that we do programs together from all over that part of Missouri. And you learn diversity. And that's what our chaplain is teaching me about, is diversity. As long as Christ is the saving center of the message. Not man's doctrine, but Christ's doctrine, the salvation of Jesus Christ that can change our lives. And to learn to look at people as creations of God and not trash. Look at people and say, that's what Satan done to them. But it's my duties to help them change from what they are to what they could be. Not what's where Satan brought them to. You stop a minute and talk to a homeless guy holding up a sign along the road, you'll hear some things. At least the guys in prison's got a bed. Got 3 meals a day. You want to go to somewhere that somebody's hurting, go to a homeless guy. But I believe what God has deposited in me, that we are to release that upon other people. Release that anointing that God has given to you. He saved you for a reason, not to just absorb His goodness and to enjoy being a Christian. But God saved you to touch people's lives. Sean, if you want to come on back up, and I'm going to finish this up. Wow, it's not even 12 o'clock yet. That's what happens when you're used to preaching to a clock. Guys have got to be locked down for count, so you've got to really discipline yourself. See, what I find out about church and people in church, we're all at different levels. We're all at different stages of life. We all got different callings. We all got different callings. Your calling may not be to a prison. It may be to a nursing home. It may not be to a nursing home. It may be to a street corner. It may not be there. It may be a Walmart. It may be Men's Encounter. It may be whatever. But our calling is to help people, to love thy brother, thy neighbor. Huh. How hard is that? You would think that would be like saying, I've got to give up all my money. No, it's like loving thy neighbor. All you got to do is help somebody out. I preach this to the men in prison that you want to change your life. When you go home, you find a soup kitchen to volunteer at. If you ain't got no money, you got a penny, give it to somebody on a street corner. You can find somebody that's worse off than you are, and you can give a dime, a quarter. And God will change your life because it's the action. It's the action. I will show you my faith by my works. Instead of sitting around saying, I've got faith. We need to show some faith by some of the works and believing what God's going to do. God wants to change some lives. He wants to save a world. God created every man on this earth in His image. No matter how disgusting they look, no matter what they've done, God has created every man. And we're going to sit and watch them drift off into hell. Drift off into hell. If you'd like prayer today, I could have many altar calls out of this. But if you would, you say, well, I just don't have enough. Maybe I need to combine my faith with somebody else. Maybe I need some inspiration. I just invite you to come forward today and let some of us pray with you. God wants to take you from the past and give you a future. God wants to break, He wants to mend the broken hearts, and He wants to heal the broken homes. He wants to heal the broken relationships and the failures. The only one that fails is the one who quits and gives up. I fail constantly. I feel like I'm the ultimate failure. But I've come from reading my Bible that the only way you're ever going to overcome the failures is just keep pushing forward and keep pushing forward. Maybe you haven't found that inner peace today. Maybe you'd like somebody to pray with you. God wants to fill that void, that cavity in your life. God's got a great future. Be a part of it. God's got a great future for each one of us. All we have to do is be a part of it. If you'll stand with me this morning. As Sean goes ahead and plays and sings something, if you would like prayer this morning, I want to pray with you.
Mm-hmm. All to Jesus now.